Hey, this is Natalia from the Deers, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9. Keep listening.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Hey, I'm Ben, drummer for Exogen, and this is CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, it is I, DJ Tangent. You may know me from episodes of Making Bacon, such as the St. Patrick's Day special, the Homegrown Live preview show, and the Spring Reverb extravaganza. I have my own show now called Numbers with Wings. Join me, and I will take you on a voyage through garage rock, punk, post-punk, cowpunk, Paisley Underground, and more, all viewed through my, some say, unique perspective. I will be broadcasting live on CFRC 101.9 FM, Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m., and on CFRC.ca a few seconds later, or you can check it out at your leisure.
Hey, it's Evan Jackson. You're listening to 101.9 CFRC.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. It's Saturday morning. This is Making Bacon. I'm DJ Overeasy. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 and Epic Day. Woo! I got in the studio my good friend, Clem Chester.
Yeah! Yeah. Thanks for having me here, Jamie.
Hey, no problem, Tim. No problem. Hey, this is a real honor. I have to admit, so the first time I became aware of you, it was probably just under a year ago, and it was probably, you were playing in town around Rib Fest, or it was like the fair or something at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, Rib Fest, probably.
It was Rib Fest, yeah. So I saw the picture of your album. I didn't get to that show, but I was like, when I saw your album, I was like, this is the coolest picture. So I'm going to tell everybody. So, Clem, your latest album, what's it called here?
Straight Home to You.
Yeah, by Clem Chesterfield. And I always say the Lazy Boy recliners. How do you say it?
Lazy.
Lazy.
Lazy,
all right.
Boys.
I like to put that Southern Lazy Boy.
Lazy Boy.
Yeah, what a beautiful record you've produced.
Wow, here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and tell me about this. What is this picture here on
okay.
the front?
Okay, so a good friend of mine for years and years, his name is Steve Jameson. He retired from school teaching and took up painting and kind of, you know, really threw himself into it. And he'd been, you know, showing me his paintings for a while, and kind of struck me when I was getting around to putting together this new record that, wow, what about a custom-made, you know, cover painting?
Yeah.
So I approached him about a commission, and he was super excited about it. So he worked on it for a few months and got kind of coincided with our recording in the studio time period. So I was approving the artwork and looking at the various things, and we were coming up with ideas. We kind of were melding together different concepts to come up with it. And so this is all a very original design. And, you know, we found some photographs that kind of got the right mood of the background, and he worked from those.
Beautiful. Yeah, I have to tell everybody, it is like an old, like, 1970 Ford style, Chevy-style truck pickup driving into a beautiful sunset in the countryside. So it is just beautiful, and, yeah, wonderful. So how long you been making music, man? Tell me.
Well, it's a long story, so we won't take too long.
Good, we got lots of time, and yeah, I got nothing better to do.
Well, you may not, I'll straighten this out right now.
Yeah.
I sing the songs that another guy writes.
Okay.
So my songwriter, his name is Tim Sheffield.
Okay.
And he's been making music around the Kingston area since... I think first appeared on stage in AJ's hangar
long ago. Yeah, yeah.
back in about 1991.
Okay.
And so putting out records all through the 90s and early 2000s. And then as Tim told me, he had hit a writer's block.
Okay.
Was not putting anything out. And he made this demo. And it had, you know, 21 songs, and he made it with another Kingston legend, Luther Wright.
Yeah.
Luther Wright and the Wrongs.
Of course.
And so at the end of the session, there were about 5 songs left over that, you know, no idea what to do with them. So Luther broke the news to Tim that these were, in fact, country songs.
Yeah.
And Tim was like, well, I don't know how to do country,
like,
and I've
country.
Never done it before, and don't really care for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so he called me up, and we hadn't talked for, 25 years, I bet. I was his old whiskey drinking buddy.
Ah, yeah.
And I don't know, he seemed to get soft and give up the whiskey, and, you know, and I was just looking for something. I was just tending cattle and, you know, working on my ranch, the Lazy Sea.
Yeah.
And he approaches me and he says, hey, what do you think about taking these 5 songs and doing something with them? And I said, nah, I'm not a recording artist. I'm a cowboy. And he said, well, if you do, there'll be no money and there'll be no success and no fame. And I said, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And I accept.
Sign me up.
So I went in the studio at that point and made the first record called The Chronicles of Clem Chesterfield.
There you go.
And it was a 6-song EP with Jay Uhringer on upright stand-up bass.
He's
been in, you know, Sarah Harmer's band and in the local band called Bloom here that started with Joe Chitlin way back in the day.
Wow.
And so he was a great guy to take the songs to. And then I was, you know, like, I'm going to strip this down and just make it sound like it was made in the 1950s.
Cool.
And so the only other instrument I added besides acoustic guitar, acoustic upright bass, was pedal steel guitar and dobro. And that was handled by Burke Carroll.
Okay.
And Burke is a very well-known sideman in, you know, he's played with everybody. You know, George Fox and he's been on Murray McLaughlin records. Like,
very
he's
cool.
got chops.
Very
and,
cool.
And he's a staple in the Toronto, you know, alt country outlaw scene that they've kind of got going a little bit now. And he actually, he's been on all 3 of my recordings.
Yeah.
And on this last one, Straight Home to You, he's actually the co-producer.
Very cool.
With the band and I. We were the cow producers.
I like that. So that's let's say, logistically, how Clem Chesterfield was born. Creatively, how did you, Clem Chesterfield?
Yeah.
Where did he
goes
come
back,
from?
You know, we're going back to the 1980s and probably early 90s. And that was the name that that was given to me by some friends that sort of thought that when the whiskey came out, you know, I kind of turned into a cartoon character with a backwoods kind of feel.
Yeah.
And, Clem Chesterfield.
Oh, that's so cool, man. You know, I love that
kind
story.
Kind of a play on Tim's name, Tim Sheffield.
And, Clem Chesterfield. Oh, that is so cool.
Kind of like, one of those guys like in sports on teams that, you know, you don't want to play against him, but you want him on your team, you know? Kind of one of those characters.
Very cool.
You know, and I take the criticism with a grain of salt because... I don't really give a shit.
Well, hey, man, criticism. I don't know why anybody would criticize. So for those who haven't had an opportunity to see Clem Chesterfield, it's a full experience. Like, Clem brings it all. The lights, in the background, you got videos, you got old cowboy movies and all that type of stuff. And
yep, that was our last show at the Toucan. Those in because it was we were official guests of the Kingston Canadian Film Festival.
Yes.
So that was the tie-in for that. And it was a really cool look. I enjoyed that.
Oh, that was super fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed it too. It was very, and you guys all looked great on theme and what a great show. It was one of my favorite. Music video, the Kingston film. So, it was for, remind me what song, The Grind?
It was Yesterday's Grind.
Yesterday's Grind, that's it, Yesterday's Grind. And everyone, go out and check it. Where can we find it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. Okay. Myself, Clem Chesterfield, I have a YouTube channel. Go there, subscribe to it, give it a like, all that stuff. You'll find other videos there. And from the last record, we did a video for the song Except For You.
Yep.
And... there's probably the most popular video is called Don't Be an Asshole Man.
Yep.
And it's got about, coming up on 5,000 views.
Nice.
Which, for an indie guy that doesn't pay for likes or followers.
Yeah, definitely.
It's had some legs.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that some people have embraced as a bit of a theme song,
Absolutely. I love that song and I'm going to use it. One day when somebody out there ticks me off enough and I need to rant in here on the station, that's going to be my protest song right there.
There you go.
Yeah,
I appreciate
I've already
that.
Been thinking about it.
Get your list together.
My hit list of like people that annoy me. I try to keep it fresh on the radio, but if you see the dark side of overeasy, if anybody cracks my yoke when you flip me over,
love it.
So the video, I'm gonna really quick. It was a really fun video. You have a young black lady who is working, is stuck in an office, and you can feel her frustration. And slowly, as time goes on, you see that she has a newfound love for line dancing. And so it's a little story of her breaking out and having fun and line dancing to Clem's music. And ultimately, it's a
message of letting go.
Yeah, it's a very fun, relatable. They did an amazing job.
Yeah.
You guys did.
We were really happy
job.
With that. It was part of the Slate video music program with the film festival. And we put in an application last summer to possibly make it, and there was, I believe, over 60 artists put in applications, and then there was a secondary list of directors and producers that got to select from that list, and I was chosen by a young woman named Raj Dillon, and her company is Raj Gets It Done.
Nice.
And it was such an experience. The whole point of it was to be a collaboration.
Right.
And I put in my ideas of what it would look like from a storyboard point of view for videos. And it was going to look like your typical band video until Raj sort of looked at it through a different lens. And that's where we came up with the female forward lead, which,
I have to admit the ones with a bit of a storyline, you remember them more, you relate to them more. It was one of my favorite for sure.
Oh, so, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, we didn't go into the thing with the idea of, oh, we're going to win a prize,
yeah, exactly.
or there's something exactly. at the end of it. What's at the end of it is this great video that we got made.
100%.
And I think I've been at this long enough to, you know, not put stock in the other side of things.
Yep.
Just getting things done.
Yeah.
And, you know, released, put out there.
Yeah.
That's the victory.
Yeah, yeah. And just having fun with it and that.
Totally.
And you know what? It shows to a lot of the Kingston people. I do see a lot of just the love of doing it come out in music and like the Slate stuff and the various, we were talking about Homegrown and those types of things. Man, oh man, do you ever see a lot of love come out on those days, right?
You really
when everybody
do.
Is.
Yeah. And I heard you earlier talking about, you know, the great celebration the other night for Winston.
Yes.
And, you know, what a fantastic contribution to our music community Winston brought. And you saw it that night. It was packed with, you know, when we have a night like that in Kingston, we call it like an old school, an old home kind of night where it's like you can't take two steps and you're not running into somebody that you've known for 25 years.
Yep.
You know, that was my experience. And it was really awesome.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is the whole thing about like a homegrown. You know, there's still people around, myself included, that remember Joe and got to play with Joe Chitlin.
Yeah.
You know, the homegrown is a benefit for the Joe's Mill Instrument Lending Library here.
Actually, Joe, for those out there who don't know, Joe was an incredible jazz and all music bass player in that town. Actually, Oscar Evans is currently playing with Joe's old stand up bass.
Yeah, I love seeing that.
It's gorgeous sound. Yeah. It's not mic'd, it's not nothing.
No.
That instrument puts out that sound just right like that.
So. And that's what, you know, a testament to the players, but also to good craftsmanship on instruments, you know?
Yep.
The tie into that for me is the first record that I made, I mentioned with Jay Ehringer.
Yep.
The reason we recorded it where we did, which was in the living room of his 1850s farmhouse.
Nice.
Was because the bass lives there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was...
Couldn't get it to sound the same anywhere else,
right? No, it's tuned to that room.
Yeah.
It's a wood floors, it's a beautiful room.
Nice.
That has piano and you know, it's where the vinyl's kept and all that stuff. But the bass was made to sound right in that room.
Amazing.
And that's, you know...
Amazing.
Something where... good instruments, that happens.
Yeah. Well, listen, Clem, for you lucky people out there, he brought in his guitar. He's going to play us some music. Now, do you want a second to warm up, or you're good to go? Because I can always throw on.
Warming up's going to just...
Yeah, just mess it up.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
It's early morning.
Dude, you play music like I DJ. Man, we are kindred spirits. All right.
Like we're sitting in our living room.
The only thing we're missing is a little bit of whiskey.
Yeah. God, I do have this cup here.
Yeah. I got my sweet nectar out there. We won't say what's in it. But. All right. So here you go, everyone. I'll let Clem introduce you. I'm going to just... It's right here on the floor. So he's using my mic and enjoy.
All right. I'm going to do one from the new record. It's a song that we redid for this record because it just sounded so nice with the Lazy Boys singing backup harmonies, which you're not going to get the benefit of here. But this is one about letting people know that you care about them and that you're there for them while they're still here. Called I Want You Around. Do you know how it feels when you
all of the things you left behind. Please don't forget about me. Maybe you should go ahead, forget about me.
That sounded gorgeous. I'm so lucky, man. Hey, this is a concert for one right here. I got some people listening, but you're not getting what I'm getting. Nah, nah. I am taking some videos. I'll fire that off. We can post this on social media afterwards. So,
cool.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in, man. So tell me, you got a ranch? So
40 head
and cattle. Yeah, and it's just cattle. Do you have any land you work or?
Yeah, well, you know, got about 650 acres.
Nice.
Up north of the 401 there.
Yeah.
And go riding fences most days with my old trusty steed, Whiskey Trigger.
Nice.
Joins me on stage most of the time.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
Excellent. And yeah, that's awesome. I grew up a farm boy.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I was a dairy farmer.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I didn't have that luxurious life of horses and that. I was right. On my knees pulling tits. I wasn't riding horses.
The product.
Yeah, that's right. Pumping out the product.
That's right.
Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
Man. So listen, I don't want to stress the vocals and that too much, but did you want to play another song?
Sure, man.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's kind of what we do here.
Yeah, please.
I'll do one from the last record that came up during COVID. It was a time when we were all, you know, locked it down. And we've been a couple of months locked down. And I sort of started to realize that maybe some of us weren't still locked down. And I got thinking about who was still making all the food that we were eating.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, farmers still have to go to work every day. They're not, you know.
That's right, yeah. And didn't affect them at all.
And
yeah.
Stuff like that. They still needed to get the product out, you know. The cows had to be milked. And so I thought, how do you get it done? You know, like farming isn't a very lucrative thing anymore. Like for farmers that are established, I think that they can make it, but you wouldn't these days really think about becoming a farmer.
Well, it's not what most people think. It's heavily industrialized now, so it's not.
Yeah. It's a real money game.
It is. You're more of a business manager than a farmer these days.
That's right. Yeah. And so with that, I was kind of like, you know, how do you get it done? A lot of farmers have jobs off the farm, even, you know,
totally.
If you're that medium sized or smaller kind of thing. And so I happened to have some people in my life that were farmers, and, you know, and I said, with little kids, even, you know, how do you get it done? And they said, well, we just put the kids to bed and then go out and get on the tractor and, you know, go and do the things. And I was like, whoa, that's got to be a song, doesn't it? So I wrote Date Night on the Combine.
Thank you.
tractor cab. Always said we'd make it, make the best of what we had. It's been hard work at night, longer through the day. But my baby and I, we did it. We had to find a way. And it's day night in the combine, cutting corn by tractor light. It's day night in the combine. It's worth more than all the fights. We had our fun working all night long.
All yours are my favorite.
Thanks.
If you're just tuning in here now, you are a lucky listener for one of the rare times. Mostly you have to put up with me. But today we have Clem Chesterfield, local country legend here in town, and treating you to some fine tunes on your Saturday morning. So thanks, everyone, for joining. And so, Clem.
Yeah,
tell me, what else can we talk about here?
Whatever you want, man.
Well, let's see. Do you have any fishing songs? You need to
fishing
do
songs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah,
need
yeah.
a fishing song.
Yeah. I got a couple. The first one was from the second sophomore album, I guess they would call it,
yep.
And that's the Lures on the Wall.
Yeah,
which, the second record is called Of Lures and Love. You know. And I always, you know, thought about, you know, the thoughts of a Grecian urn or something like that. You know,
okay.
Ode to a Grecian urn.
Yes,
I think
yes,
it was
yes.
This Keats poem. And it really kind of thought of, to me, the idea of thinking about what's happening and is the first step of learning about what's happening.
Right.
And so for the Lures on the Wall, I really, you know, came from an experience in an old boathouse where, you know, there was these massive lures on this boathouse
wall. As big as your arm.
Yeah. And I was said to myself, because I don't mind doing a little fishing, you know, and I thought, what about, what kind of fish were they catching with those lures that are so big? And, you know, and really... you know, like we don't really fish with that anymore unless you're going out on the ocean or the you know really big water. And I started to think about, well, we probably overfished the really big fish out that were really old at the time they were caught. And over the years I've supported and been, you know, very interested in the Lake Ontario Waterkeepers and
cool
group here, you know, that kind of started with Mark Mattson over on Wolf Island.
Okay.
And you know, they've done a lot of things, and their motto is swim, drink, and fish, you know, which is kind of the things you want to do with your water. So Lures on the Wall was about, you know, kind of just keeping the water clean, and, you know, the looks like it's last call for those lures on the wall.
Yes.
And it, you know, at the time I was like, it's not negative. It's a song of hope that it's not too late. It's,
you know,
last
it's,
call.
It's funny too. And then one of the reasons, like I said, your music is really relatable to me. When I was younger, I had that exact experience. Mm. I was told, because I did a lot of fishing and some hunting myself, and about the various sturgeons and stuff in the area and how they all got fished out of the marsh we were in and that type of stuff.
And that's one of those big fish you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. My grandfather was talking about ones that used to be as big as their canoe, like right in the area and everything.
And very old, like that size for a sturgeon. Mackerel, I think, is another one that's really big.
Yep.
And they, you know, they would be probably 100 years old.
Well, that's it. The snapping turtles, that always broke my heart. And it's crazy now, too, being the age I am. I saw snapping turtles like, man, they were 3-4 feet across.
Yeah, like
they were
huge. Turtles.
Oh, they were giant.
Yeah,
absolutely
me too.
Giant.
I remember those.
And no more. They didn't last that long. Like it was probably between the time I was 30, they were all gone.
Right.
And now a snapping turtle is like these little things. These tiny little.
Yeah, because I'm not sure that they have the environment anymore that can support that length of time that's required for them to get that big.
It's just not stable enough.
So then I didn't think that maybe the message had got through with my first song. So on the next record, Straight Home to You, the latest one, I wrote a song called I Speak for the Fish.
Yes.
And that one, you know, takes it the step further where it's like, I guess you didn't hear the warning.
Okay, dumbass.
No, I'm gonna be fish. And I'm gonna tell you how I really think about it. I mean, obviously, I not a fish, but I can put myself in their shoes. As if you're a songwriter, you have to be able to, you know, put on different hats and coats, you know, to be able to take on the character or at least, you know, see life through their point of view.
Yeah. And, well, being a person who works with the land and is on the land a lot and animals and all of that type of stuff, I get it. It becomes part of you.
Yeah.
And
I mean, but the battle right now is quite simple. It's we're destroying wetlands at an epic rate as humans, and that is where it all starts. That is where rivers begin, headlands. You know, that is what rivers feed lakes, creeks, all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And if you're destroying the natural habitats of fish and the fish food and stuff.
And just putting up condos and crap like that.
Or selling your green belts and things like that. It's not.
Don't get me started. Where's the asshole song? I need that.
Yeah. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And sustainability is the word I think that stands out for me most these days.
Yeah.
And I use that word a lot because it's like, it's from everything to, you know, like, you know, are my old whiskey drinking habits sustainable?
Yeah.
Not sure. But
we'll see.
We'll see someday.
No, I get that too. And it's also because for me, being this age, I've seen things change faster than they ever told us or thought or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
they'd be like, oh yeah, don't worry, you've got 100 years before our ice caps disappear. Wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Another
and
5 years
years isn't sustainable.
Exactly.
You know, like, so our timing and our understanding of things is limited. And I mean, I can be even a little more darker than that. I'm not sure that it is.
Oh, we like dark. Yeah, let's go dark.
I'm not sure that it is an uncalculated risk that happens at the corporate level and at the really big business, the big polluters. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
And for some reason, they must have a different plan than the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's this guy on TikTok. His name is Roy Casagrande. He is a political scientist that is unbelievable. He's basically like a storyteller who has the knowledge of all of human history, period.
Oh, cool.
Like, and this is a dude who has been like at the Vatican reading the actual documents.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So he just threw out some stats because discussion about current state of affairs down south. So the top 16% of the population in the United States make or have possession of 84% of the GDP.
Wow.
So that means that the rest of the individuals in the United States, the other, so what is that? This is 84. And, okay, so it's like, you know, 20% of or 80% of the United States population is really trying to live on and scrape and fight for 20% of the GDP.
Right.
It's just absolutely. So the middle class doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
It's just been completely obliterated. And it's that what you just talked about.
Yeah.
These individuals who don't care.
Yeah.
It's just money and that's
that.
And more
and more.
Just more and more and more.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. There's a Taoist saying that's to know when enough is enough is enough.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's brilliant. Like, yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of brilliant, my man, you got another song for us or am I
maybe
working
I'll do that
it
one
too hard?
No, no. Maybe I'll do that I speak for the fish.
Please. All right, Clem Chesterfield, if you're tuning in, you are a lucky individual. Clem Chesterfield here live on Make and Bacon, CFRC 101.9 FM. Here we go.
Can I get a yee-haw at home?
Yeah!
I speak for the fish, and I think they say it's gotta get better, not worse someday. You're ruining our wetlands, our swampy homes. Clean up our water, then leave us alone. Way back before we came to these shores, fish were plenty full of stolen folklore. We learned to catch all that we could take. We caught them in the oceans, the rivers and lakes. I speak for the fish, and I think they say it's gotta get better now or someday. You're ruining our wetlands, our swampy homes. Clean up our water, then leave us alone. It wasn't enough to hunt them extinct. We lied to each other, it's basic instinct. Lies about the number of fish we were taking, raising our nets until bent and breaking. I speak for the fish, and I think they say it's gotta get better now or someday. You're ruining our wetlands, our swampy homes. Clean up our water, then leave us alone. All the damage we're on the brink of. Look at all the fishes jumping in the rivers. Listen to the brooks and creeks that shimmer. I speak for the fish, and I think they say it's gotta get better.
our swampy homes, clean up our water, then leave us alone. I speak for the fish, and I think they say it's gotta get better, not worse someday. You're ruining our wetlands, our swampy homes, clean up our water, then leave us alone. Not a lot of mystery there.
Man, I'm glad that you're speaking for the fish, because they need more voice. They need more voice.
Right on. Well, maybe that's what it's all about these days, is using your microphone and, you know, your opportunity when you've got the public's ear from time to time to, you know, say some of the hard things.
That's right. Yep. And I believe, especially coming from a man like you, with your music and the presentation that you do, there's no denying it. There is no denying it. You bring so much heart and soul into it. I love it.
Appreciate that.
I really do love it. And, I was going to ask you something. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
So tell me, politics, that's what I was going
to... Well, all the records seem to have a lot of that, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think you got a song, correct me if I'm wrong, but I love this term, it stuck with me, and I use it all the time now, Convoy Canadian. It was one of those things where, because, you know, I needed that term for, you know, because here in Canada, down in the U.S., they're just openly, like, full-on racist. Like, and it's just gotten crazier and crazier. But there are people here in Canada who, let's just say, are resisting change. When they resist change, they're not very nice to... I live right downtown, so I hear it all.
Right.
Yeah, so I needed a term like that, Convoy Canadian. So you wrote a song called I'm Canadian. So tell me about that. Why did you write that song? Where did it come from? What made you?
Well, I think we were, again, this, of the second record I made of Lures and Love, it got made during the pandemic.
Okay.
And so we all learned a new way to record, a new way to get our ideas across, you know,
right,
while being masked. And, you know, I couldn't get the entire band together like I would have liked to make this. So we made it in stages, and we brought the players in, you know, to safely, you know, do the recording. And it kind of was a time where a lot of the ideas of what it means to be Canadian were being questioned and tested, you know?
Yeah.
And so I kind of went through in the verses a little bit of different viewpoints about what maybe it means to be Canadian. And the first verse started more with what it means to be American and their love of their life and the way it is, and, you know, and when they make it great again,
then,
you know, we'll all
I think there's a new hat. I think it happened. I think America's great again.
Yeah.
So there you go. It happened just like that.
Amazing. Yeah. Isn't that something? Wow.
What a clown.
Yeah. I guess the first box of merch ran out, so he had to make a new one.
New hat. Anyways. So,
anyways, and then it continues on, you know, with the idea of, like, in Canadians, in the next verse, we don't really talk much about politics, you know? Yeah. We kind of do all the time, but we kind of don't broach it head on a lot. We skirt around it, and, you know, we don't really talk about politics while we're sitting around the barn, you know? That's the notion. Then there's a verse about, you know, like... You know, some people think that country music, you know, came from America and that it started down there. And it's like, may have some of its roots there, but the roots in Canada are super strong too. And so, you know, I mentioned Wolf Carter and Hank Snow, and these were really pretty big stars before lots of the American stars kind of made their way, you know. And then, of course, I throw in, and, you know, Shania's got a few fans as well.
Of course,
you know? And And then I finished it up because during the pandemic, I also took the time to work on my own education and attitudes and values. And I took a couple courses from the University of Alberta online, and they were in Indigenous studies.
Amazing.
So in the last verse of I'm Canadian, I talked about basically we don't have anything to stand on if it weren't for the First Nations.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're talking about truth and reconciliation, we really shouldn't be doing anything in Canada until we consult the First Nations.
Yes.
And so that kind of made the Canadian convoy even a little less relevant because you don't have any... claim to Canada. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure people fight me on that, but it's like history, the truth of history.
Yeah.
You know, they always say it's written by the losers, but in this case, it was written by the people that wanted it to look a certain way.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and it just really came to stand for me that if you're Canadian, then you need to be an ally of the Indigenous people, and you need to really do some homework and find out that we live in two different realities in Canada.
That's right. Yeah, just acknowledge that me sitting here, me DJ over easy, I'm as guilty as if I were living in Israel right now.
For sure.
Just by association. You have to acknowledge it. You have to. And the one thing I've come to realize, too, that we are so lucky here in Canada to have our native people.
Absolutely.
Because imagine being like, you know, Germany, or that, like, just this country that its only history isn't one of caretakers and care for the land, and to have those individuals guide us through our mistakes, right? So it's, I am so grateful. Like, you know, I did struggle with my own reconciliation for a while. I was not a proud Canadian. But I can, like you just said, as an ally, I can claim, you know, I support the people.
History happened, man. And,
that's right.
And, you know, whether you're from the side telling the history or the side trying to get your story heard, the reality is it happened and here's where we are.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are some things we can do, you know, in the Truth and Reconciliation Act.
Yep.
There's lots of things that are laid out there that could be done to even the playing field to do that. But more importantly, it's acknowledgement.
Yes.
And it's the beginning of, you know, the correction.
Yeah. I'm 100% land back. 100% land back, because look at it this way. You've got clowns like Fat Ford there and whoever just managing the lands, you know? Mm-hmm. I would much rather have the Algonquin people manage the land and be responsible and say which company is allowed to and which company isn't.
That's right.
What that land is used for.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if that happened, there'd be why is there not clean water in the most pristine nature? It's just because of these companies and their mining and that stuff,
That's right.
Land back.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, what we have to do as Canadians is do more research, do our homework, get ourselves in the right headspace to be able to, you know, reconcile what has gone on in Canada to make this beautiful nation that we share with many people, you know?
Absolutely.
We grew up in the era of multiculturalism.
Yep.
That's what we were being taught
globalization,
in the 70s and 80s.
That's right. If we only knew the capitalist part was going to wind out of control. But globalization, and I still believe, because, you know, I still believe that is the way to go. It's
absolutely.
Just we have to do it with...
Well, and that brings me around to why I felt like a voice like mine of Clem Chesterfield kind of, you know, has some relevance. And it's because I view things from an inclusive point of view.
Yep.
And there's a lot of that's don't be an asshole, man, is being an ally to women and, you know, and really supporting women as a group of people that, you know, can, you know, rather have people that aren't part of the problem.
Yeah, no, totally.
At the very least.
100%. Yeah, and more men need to speak up about men's bad behavior. Right. Absolutely.
Agreed.
I see it all the time still.
Yeah.
The younger generation is getting much better.
Absolutely.
But still, you know, men suck.
Yeah.
And you wrote it beautifully. Well, listen, buddy, do you want to do one more song?
I can do one more, man.
Okay.
I got the guitar.
Wow, you are the coolest dude. All right, so we got one more, and then we'll say our goodbyes. But everybody, this is Clem Chesterfield. You need to band camp. You need to go. Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah.
Website?
ClemChesterfield.com.
Okay. And where can they get their vinyls? Because these vinyls are beautiful and you need to have them.
All over town. They're at Something Else Records. They're at Zap Records. At various times, I've got them in at Brian's as well.
Okay.
So there's lots of places that you can pick up your vinyl. And I just appreciate people that are, you know, listening to vinyl and still doing. I've never stopped in my entire life. I've
Excellent.
Always had vinyl.
Excellent.
I've dragged it around everywhere I've ever lived.
Yep.
And I think it's important if you're
serious
about music.
Let me say, these two records here, that one right over there, Straight Home to You and Of Lures of Love, are two of my favorites. They're beautiful. You do a great job, man.
Thank you
so much for coming in, man. This has been awesome.
I'll encourage you to go check out my video for Don't Be an Asshole, Man.
Yes.
And I'll give you the live version here.
All right, let's do it. Woo! Clem Chesterfield, everyone.
There's been a lot of clicking, hashtagging around this town about the kind of man that keeps a woman down. And mister, I'm here to tell you there's a brand new action plan. It's called Don't Be an Asshole, Man. Don't be an asshole, man. Women already understand exactly what it means to be dealt a losing hand. So don't be an asshole, man. Did you ever hear the saying, keep your hands to yourself? Most women have to say it by the time they're 12. And if you're part of this problem that I'm talking about, then don't be an asshole, man. No, don't be an asshole, man. Women already understand exactly what it means. Unpopular with the redneck fray. I don't really give a shit if my politics offend. Just don't be an asshole, man. No, don't do it. Don't be an asshole, man. Women already understand exactly what it means to be dealt a losing hand.
Thank you so much.
I never thought I'd get on radio and be able to sing that song.
Yeah, well, hey, that we're allowed to because this is my show. And that's right. We've locked the doors. Nobody can get in. And except you. We got Hugh, and good old Hugh is here,
right,
and he's going to be coming up with 3 hours of some of the most amazing folk music you've ever heard. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for putting up with good old DJ Over Easy here. I appreciate you. Get out there, you know, spread some love. Definitely pick up Clem's records. You will not be sorry. They will become a beloved part of your record collection and your daily grind. There you go, buddy.
Yeah!
All right, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, I am going to end with some promos here, but I'm looking for a release radar to take us out of the top. There they are. And, you know, we're going to do my good buddy Nolan Hubbard here. So let's get this going. Sorry, I'm clicking away in that. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. Hugh's coming up. We'll chat soon.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single by local musician Nolan Hubbard and his teammate Cassidy Taylor called Birdie. Inspired by shared experiences of disconnection and isolation, the pair co-wrote the song virtually before coming together to record in person at Cassidy's home in Milton, Ontario, with Nolan traveling from Kingston. Produced and mixed by Nolan and mastered by Yanni Caldres, Birdie invites listeners into a space of heartbreak and healing. Cassidy's vocals float effortlessly over Nolan's signature lush guitar hooks, blending their distinct artistic voices into a story that feels deeply relatable. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Birdie by Nolan Hubbard and Cassidy Taylor on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Think of me before you go down.